This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We will be reaching out to Richard Justice. Where is Richie? We'll be reaching out to him in about 3 or 4 minutes, and we'll talk some Astros baseball. I am excited. You know, it's we haven't talked. It's funny here in Houston, and Dell can speak to this. We've talked. The most we talked about has been Rockets, followed by Astros, followed by Texans. This is the least amount of Texans talk that I can recall in years, maybe ever. And it's really because, as you mentioned, Eric, there's just not a lot of, apologies to the last segment. There's just not a lot of juice with this team. There's just not the fevered pitch. And I think a large part of that has been because the Rockets have played at a higher level on a consistent basis. When I say higher level, higher than the Texans. And the Houston Astros have won a World Series. So expectations were elevated after the Astros won their World Series. Not just that, but they're a super likable team with super likable young core of star players. It is a little bit strange to me that a team with Clowney, first pick of the draft, J.J. Watt, Captain America or whatever, Deshaun Watson, college hero and serial good guy, DeAndre Hopkins, one of the top wide receivers in all of football. You start adding these guys up, what? You would think that this would be one of the most popular Houston Texans team ever, and yet it's actually the opposite of that. And I never would have thought a team with Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, a healthy Clowney who was a good football player, and a guy like D-Hop who has turned into way more than you ever could have anticipated when you drafted him, would be just kind of also rans in the city. But that's what happens when, you know, the Rockets have a guy like James Harden and they're getting a Western Conference Finals. That's what happens when the Astros have done what they've done and they've added a guy like Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole. I mean, and they have Altuve and Springer and Correa and Bregman. I mean, it's so strange. We're in camp and that's not what people are talking about. It's not like people don't want the football season to get here, but there's just not, when I'm out and about in Houston or talking to people, I don't get a lot of Texans buzz right now.
But that's, yeah, I mean, they don't, because they don't deserve it. I mean, at the end of the day, you gotta, you know, you weren't talking about the Astros 10 years ago.
Right, none.
And so,
well,
so,
10 years,
you know,
ago, a little.
Okay, maybe 10 years ago, yeah.
How about 2014, 13, 12, 11,
we're going to talk about them.
Nothing.
So the Texans are getting what they deserve. The only reason Texans get the love they do is because they play in Texas and they play in Houston, which is a football town. So if they were in Detroit, you know, same team, you wouldn't talk about them.
Right. Well, I mean, it's still the NFL. I mean, it's huge. Look, we're going to talk plenty of Texans. I'm just saying.
Of course, but not right now, not when we have baseball and basketball things happening.
Right.
And the fact that, I mean, that should tell you something. The fact that basketball in the offseason right now, where basketball really isn't talked about, is overshadowing the Texans in Houston, kind of says it all.
Right.
So it's like they don't deserve to be talked about, to be honest with you.
No, there is more drama with Russell Westbrook. Hey, they just have to prove it. It's a show and prove situation.
That's exactly right.
They played a bunch of average to below average quarterbacks last year. They got their wins. They had a double digit win season. They had a great winning streak, and then the absolute flame out by the secondary late in the season was just atrocious. And now you go into it, you made a few changes, you don't have a GM, yada yada. So We'll get back to some of the Texans talk and what they can do to become more relevant earlier in the season. Right now, we're going to bring on a guy who has been super relevant in the city of Houston and continues to be, despite the fact that he works for a national organization at MLB.com, and that would be our old buddy Richie, Richard Justice. What's going on, Mr. Justice? How you doing?
Hello, old buddy, old pal.
What do you say, old buddy? So on the line with me is Eric Layden, who is kind of fancy. He is an actor who I think you'll be surprised. I was introduced to him by one John McClane at a Texans at a Texans practice, and because John McClane's...
run, Eric, run.
And we are Eric is a lifelong Astros fan. Was here for the World Series. He's a Houstonian. Went to school here and still keeps up very very closely with the Astros, even when he's on the set filming stuff in Orlando. So. Were you surprised the Astros got anything for Tyler White? And can this kid play at all? I mean, the numbers look good, but I'm assuming he's not much of a player if you're giving him up for a designated player like Tyler White, who really hasn't hit for the entire season.
You know, this is part of the problem. You know, you think about it. You look at the year he had the last 2 years, not many opportunities, but the numbers are really good. And he bailed their butts out a couple of games. Remember the home run in San Francisco? I think he hit another one in Oakland. I mean, at a time when the club was struggling and it had some injuries and all that, he's going to be in uniform for the Dodgers tonight, and we'll see. You know, the Astros have one way, you know, pretty sophisticated in their approach to helping hitters. The Dodgers may have something that will unlock it. I think what appeals to the Dodgers is that he can play second base. They like guys that can put all over the place. And also, they've got some injuries and some holes that they're trying to fill. So, you know, I'm glad they, you know, the problem with having a real deep farm system is when you have guys like Tony Kemp and Tyler White who have helped you and may be major league players. You know, it's probably Tyler was terrible this year. No getting around that. Is that you're going to have to say goodbye to some guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Tony Kemp leaving and being designated, we know that Tony Kemp is going to, is expected to be part of a deal that is going to be coming up. They have 7 days to move him in a trade. And we know he has trade value across the league. I mean, he does a lot of different things for you. But if he's going to be part of a trade upcoming, is that trade more likely to be a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher at this point, Richard?
I think Jeff Luno's very first priority is a left-handed reliever. Now, the problem is it's a seller's market. Because you now have like 16, 17 teams think they're in it. So these guys like the Giants lefty Will Smith, I'm not sure he'd be traded. You're going to have to overpay. Felipe Vasquez in Pittsburgh, you're going to have to overpay. You don't want Ken Giles coming back here, and he's not a lefty anyway. So you know what I think is going to happen? I think there's the conversations on trades have never been more intense. But there may be a lot more talk than action this year. And I think the way Jeff Luno feels, he's got a team that can win the World Series. He won't feel good about the team going in. You know, I mean, would he like another starting pitcher? He definitely would. Would he like a left-handed reliever? He definitely would. But I think he would settle for this team if you could keep the core guys. They're whole tonight for the first time since May 10th. 65 games, they didn't have either Correa, Springer, Altuve, some combination of that. You know, and they went 42-23. I mean, they had 20 games where they didn't have any of them. They went 13-7. And right now, Ryan Pressly and Roberto Osuna both struggle. So if you can get all those guys right, I think he'd take his chances with the group he has.
Richard, good talking to you, by the way. I think most Astro fans would be nervous if this team standed pat. A lot of us wonder why, and maybe you have your theories, but why Jeff Leno is so dead set on not moving Kyle Tucker. I mean, he seems to be the biggest piece in the farm system. I've talked to a general manager and scouts who don't think he's going to be an all-star, but he is dead set on not moving that guy, and it just seems like he's one piece that if he was willing to move, the Astros could go get that arm that, you know, a lot of Astro fans feel like he desperately needs.
Yeah, Jeff Luno's mantra is he doesn't want to end up like the Cubs. The Cubs won in 2016, and then in trying to win in 2017 and 2018, they depleted their farm system to the point where they can't make a trade right now, and they're a team with some holes. Jeff Luno, the guys in Tampa, Andrew Friedman with the Dodgers, they have been obsessive about not trading their prospects. I mean, Andrew Friedman will tell you he was tempted to trade Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, Walker Buehler, Alex Verdugo, all these guys that have helped them this year. And the reason is, in Jeff Luno's case, is that he just feels like we want something that's sustainable. And over the offseason, you're exactly right, Eric. He walked away for that guy, Kyle Tucker. He walked away from James Paxton. Jay Happ, I believe that was a free agent. The catcher, JT Realmuto, all those guys. And so now he's out shopping for catching again. He's out shopping for bullpen help. And would he, like Matthew Boyd of the Tigers, right-handed pitcher, 3 years of control. Would you trade Kyle Tucker for that? I don't know. And you know, the strange thing is the people in uniform aren't completely sold on Kyle Tucker. They didn't like that he came into camp knowing he wasn't going to make the team and just didn't have a very good spring and didn't start very well at AAA, but he's been on fire since then. It's always a balancing thing with those prospects.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, the other thing that adds fuel to that fire is that, you know, Alvarez has come up and just, you know, tore up since the right. since the moment he stepped in the dugout. So it's given you a little bit more cushion there. I understand the you know, where he's coming from. But, you know, you look at the Dodgers and you know, Friedman saying that he would never have, you know, he thought about trading those guys. But he doesn't have a ring. And we do. And so, you know, I mean, what's to say that that works better than the other, especially if it's only one prospect as opposed to four or five? I mean, I understand not moving, you know, a Forrest Whitley or a Corbin Martin, but in a crowded outfield, it seems short-sighted and a bit stubborn to draw a line in the sand for Kyle Tucker. I mean, unless you truly believe this is a future Hall of Famer, and nothing shows me that that's the case.
Or even a future All-Star.
Well, now he's 22 years old, and I think the way they look at it, now he's got nothing. He should not be in AAA. I mean, you know, it's not fair for him to be in AAA. And I know John Schuerholz, when he ran the Braves, thought it was, he used the word ruinous. It's ruinous if you have a kid that's ready and you don't bring him up. But the way the Astros look at it, he's going to be an everyday player next season and to hold on to him. Now, you know, things can change. There's a lot going on. Remember, sure. 2 years ago, Jeff Luno held his cards on Justin Verlander. He couldn't bring himself to do it. Then, lo and behold, you have a losing record in August, and all of a sudden, I'll do whatever I have to do, although I think at the end, Jim Crane had to give him a little shove on. That was on money, not on prospects. So, and they have traded away a ton of talent. If you look at the guys, I mean, they've got some of their guys all over the place that they traded, but he's declined to trade Whitley, Martin, Tucker, those top guys. He has refused to trade.
Richard Just is with us from MLB.com. So how big a concern is it, or how big a mistake was it to not go more aggressively into the Gerrit Cole market? It's obviously hindsight's 2020 now, but he was not part of extended conversations that we know of where they got close to getting a deal done with him before this year started. And of course, there may have been arguments about his true value, but is it just a foregone conclusion that once he hits the market, he's going to a higher bidder? Because if so, I think it really does force your hand, and maybe towards Eric's point about Tucker, that you've really got to go find a number two pitcher for next year in this before this year's trade deadline, if you can, because it helps you this year and in the years to come. Where does Gerrit Cole stand in the future for the Houston Astros?
Probably stands in Anaheim, California.
That's what I was worried
about.
You
know, he's represented by Scott Boras, who believes you let the market set a player's value. And there have been conversations, but they didn't go very far. There's been conversations about George Springer, too. And George, I believe, probably wants the contract that Paul Goldschmidt got. I don't have those numbers in front of me. They just haven't been able to agree. Do I think they're going to sign Gerrit Cole? I would say Jim Crane, if they win the World Series, they're going to sign Gerrit Cole. Gerrit's line is he bought a house in Huntington Beach or one of those places south of L.A., and he said it's a little pricey there. The tax rate might force me to someplace else, but he's going to do fine for himself. He's the top guy, and while Boras has miscalculated a lot, he just believes firmly you go out in the market and in a pitching star market, Garrett's going to do okay for himself. I think, like, when you have a window to win the way they do now, I'd say with both Springer and Cole, you overpay to get them. You keep this group together as long as you can.
What is a realistic timetable for the window of opportunity here? Because, you know, it feels like a long time, but, boy, you start throwing Springer in there. You start throwing Garrett Cole in there. You start having concerns, you know, about Justin Verlander. Is his age ever going to catch up with him? And you don't look like you're as sound and solid in the bullpen as you did maybe early in the season. I'm not trying to worry, and I want to play out this year, but I do wonder sometimes if we kind of overhype the window of opportunity, because Whitley and Martin haven't done anything to get you excited this year as future number one or number two type guys. Maybe I'm being short-sighted, but that's how it looks in this seat.
Yeah, you're right, but the way they feel is that they're pretty much loaded in the farm system, that they have a guy tearing it up. I think he's a year out of college named Seth Beer, make a beer run.
Mm-hmm.
And they have pitchers. But can you replace Cole and Verlander? That's pretty hard to do right there. You know, that is your window of opportunity.
Yep.
So I think they know they're capable of winning this year. But again, what he believes is we want to be in the mix every year. And is there a time you would – and he would say, if Jeff were on, he would say – look, and he would start naming the players that we have traded. Josh Hader, maybe the best reliever in baseball, got traded. Several other guys. There is no blueprint for that. Like Dave Dombrowski in Boston, he will trade anybody at any prospect at any time to get who he wants. But, you know, he won a World Series last year, and now they're struggling. I don't think there's a – There's no book on how the best way to do it is.
Yep.
Let's just say, Richard, they do decide to go after a starter. You know, a lot of us hope they do. Do you do what we did back in the day for Randy Johnson and go, you know, you get that left-handed starter specifically to line up with certain lineups a la the Yankees, or do you take, you know, who you can get? Is there, you know, are you worried about Mad Bum just because he's, you know, he's going to basically, it's a rental and then he's done. You know, Stroman gives you a little bit more time. You looking ahead with Cole leaving.
Syndergaard,
you know, what would be your
Cole? I mean, Syndergaard is the guy who replaces Cole.
So what do you think in that situation?
Yeah, I think Syndergaard and Zach Wheeler from the Mets would probably be one and two on his list. I don't think Bumgarner is going to get traded right now. They have expressed an interest in Mike Minor with the Rangers. Does that get you excited? Matthew Boyd, I don't think he's going to be traded. I don't think Cleveland's going to trade Trevor Bauer. Marcus Stroman's available. He's a guy not super high velocity. But, you know, you're going to, like, if you trade for Syndergaard, you're going to go, wait, what happened to this guy? The performance doesn't match the talent. But he's a younger guy. He's a big guy. Throws really hard. You know, and then you talk about the bullpen pieces. You really need to take a chance on Edwin Diaz with the Mets. He's a right-hander. Jake McGee is a left-hander with the Rockies, those guys. And I know he's trying to get all those guys. And Andrew Friedman told the writers yesterday in L.A., he goes, look, we've done stuff every year. But in one of those deals, we did give up Yordan Alvarez, and we still didn't win the World. We didn't win the World Series. And he said, I'm going to fall just short of doing something stupid. But he feels, you know, 7 years in a row win the division, no World Series titles. Jeff has at least got that. It'll be fascinating to see how it works out. My gut feeling now is the whole trade deadline will be less rather than more because the demand
shriveling up.
The supply by miles.
And that's all because the Giants and Indians have started to, you know, make waves, and so now that you're taking two major pieces off. Yeah.
Right, and the Angels are looking. The Angels are out there. They think they're one five-game winning streak away from going to the playoffs. Washington needs a reliever. Atlanta's freaking out for pitching. Obviously, Boston is, like, in a tipping point. In Boston and Milwaukee, like, they may not even make the playoffs if they don't do something.
Any chance of Felipe Vasquez, you bring him up, and, I mean, that's a guy who could become a closer for any chance of that happening, that's going to be more expensive.
It's going to be more expensive, but, you know, they've done deals. You always go back to who you've done a deal with. So they did get the Garrett Cole deal done.
Right.
Now, they paid a high price. they gave them some guys that that Pittsburgh likes a lot. And but then what you go back to is you go, okay, a year ago the Rays thought they were, I mean the Pirates thought they were in it, so they moved heaven and earth to get Chris Archer. They got Chris Archer. They traded Tampa Bay two foundational pieces and a top minor leaguer in Austin Meadows and the pitcher Tyler Glasnow and a prospect, and they didn't even go to the playoffs. So, you know, if you're Jeff Luhnow, you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I don't want to do that. But what do you do? Because you do need to do something. A few years ago at the trade deadline, Toronto was in town. They got five guys that day. It was the day of the trade deadline. Nobody you would, you know, even turn your head, but the Astros got nobody, and it was like in the clubhouse, the vibe in the two clubhouses was so different. It was kind of amazing.
He deserves to be in the Radio Hall of Fame, the Sports Writers Hall of Fame, and he's just an honorable man. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Richard Justice from MLB.com. Thanks, Richie.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Richard.
And if they don't make a trade, we're blaming you. That's how that one's going to work. Something's got to get done. Let me tell you about WorkSuites right now. I want to tell you about a company who gets you into an office, and they do it for less. They've got deals going from 4 months to 24 months. And at WorkSuites, these are offices. This is office space for you. You step right in. It's perfectly aligned and constructed and ready for you. If you say, I've got, you know, we're coming from a business where we're going to downsize. We're going to go to, we want to bring in 16 employees. Fine. They'll find an office that's right for you. They've got their own office furniture, too, that they can provide for you. If you have your own, you can bring that in. It'll alter and change the package. They have high-speed internet and IT department, the FedEx, the UPS, everything postal stuff. They have a secretary in the front to answer phone calls for you and send it back your way, or if someone comes to your office, they greet them in a very professional setting and walk them back to your office space. It really is a phenomenal opportunity for you to step into office space. And it's something I have to have office space for the NFL gig that I do, the draft stuff, because it gives me more, I get a focus and have my attention, have my own personal space. What WorkSuites also does for you is they give you all the amenities that you need to have a professional business environment. So whether you're downsizing, whether you are upgrading from a home office into a standalone office there where you've got your own space, or maybe you just are tired of doing the same old long drive to downtown Houston from North Houston, for example, Woodlands has a beautiful location with space available for you today. Make sure that you include WorkSuites for an opportunity to get the most out of your work environment at the very best price. Mention my name, Lance Zierlein and ESPN 97.5, and they're going to give you 2 free months of office rental. That's a big, big chunk of money that you're going to save. 2 free months. So if you get a 6-month deal, it now turns into 8 months because 2 months are going to be absolutely free. Visit my friends over at WorkSuites.com.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John is out, but he will be back next week. Although, I think he's doing next week from Chicago. And then I am out, so there's a chance it'll just be Dell if John doesn't get his technology squared away. It's easy. It's really... Actually, it's kind of cool. You guys might not care. I don't know. But like Eric is using this technology now. This radio technology that all these radio stations use, which costs $4,000 and up, you can... I just basically Googled and kind of hustled it and figured out that you could do the same exact thing with an iPad, two different adapters to make your iPad a wired... You know, you can turn your iPad into a wired adapter. You can take a... what are the cables? A DSL cable? Yeah, I know. Okay. Forget it. I know. It's nobody else cares but radio nerds. Hold on a second. Are you saying that you could actually turn your iPad into a Comrex? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, what you are ultimately, though, explaining is that there's no possibility John Granato is going to figure that out.
What I'm trying to tell you, yeah, he's done it before. Yeah. It was literally when I was telling him, you remember how to do this, right? He's like, hey, wait, what does this do? And I just thought, oh, Dell's going to do a four-hour show next week.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of for you. What'd you think about so Richard's always got so much great information.
He's so good. That's a lot to unpack, though. I got to say, I might be a little bit more discouraged after that segment than I was at the beginning of the day.
So I've been reading where Noah Syndergaard's 100% going to be on the block, and Trevor Bauer is starting to get pulled off, and Madison Bumgarner as well, who I'm just so like, man, I can't get super excited about Madison Bumgarner. Everyone talking about what he used to be. I don't care. Dallas Keuchel used to be a Cy Young Award winner. Either you can still do it or you can't. And maybe he can, but I would like to see somebody. I mean, I'd much rather have Madison Bumgarner than whoever else at 4 and 5. But
yeah, I understand. I understand Leno's, you know, theory on not trading away prospects and having a team that, you know, being able to build within. However, I think what you run into is, do you want to be able to build within and consistently vie for a world champion over the next, like, let's say 7 years? Or would you rather trade some pieces and win another World Series maybe this year, and maybe it takes a little longer and you don't have as long of a run? I mean, listen, our Houston Texans have won the division 7 years in a row or however many long, but they're mediocre. I mean, there's nothing exciting about that. So I, too, think the window's small. I mean, Verlander is getting old. Cole is 100% moving. He lives three doors down from my best friend in Newport Beach. He's out of here unless we match it, which I don't think we're going to do. Correa is going to be in New York in 3 years. And Springer's going to want to get paid. So I don't know. I think you brought up a really valid point. I don't know how good that or how long that window is. So I feel like if you want World Series, if that's the end goal, not competing for a World Series, but if the end goal is an actual ring, you got to make a move.
I would agree with you. And even if it's not for a starter, man, you got to go add at least an arm. You got to do something to make this pitching staff better, because you can say whatever you want to. You can sit on Twitter and be, well, actually baseball guy. Well, actually, if you look at the bullpens, really, you know, if you look at the wins over replacement VORP value of this, blah, blah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. 17, you needed two starters to bail your ass out in a miraculous Game 5 win. Don't tell me about, you know, well, actually, the stats, the numbers tell you that if you actually look at this with this particular metric. No, the Astros bullpen's just not good enough right now. And you'll be in the same situation. We've got to bomb away to win a World Series. And there is an argument to be made about starting pitching, where you say, okay, these three guys are good enough. I get that. And Wade Miley's had a long run. I mean, I'll just sit here and tell you, Wade Miley makes me nervous. Why? Just because he's got a Tyler Whitey kind of body type, and that's probably not fair, because there's been a lot of heftier guys who could deal, but he's gotten it done. I don't know why I'm so worried about Wade Miley. The guy's gotten it done, and it's not like
he also pitched well in the playoffs.
Yeah, and here's a reclamation project from Brent Strom again, where here's a guy who's pitching really well. He works quick, he gets in rhythms, and he's been super consistent. So maybe I need to quit being so worried about Wade Miley. You know, maybe that would help if I stopped. Wade Miley was pissed the other day. I don't know if you got to see that game.
Well, Eric. I mean, listen, that he had reason to be pissed.
Agreed.
I mean, I think he was mad at himself about the walk and then the hit. But, you know, I, you know me, I don't sit here. I don't like to play, you know, Monday morning quarterback with A.J. Hinch. But there are times when A.J. Hinch doesn't get criticism because of his record in Houston. That was a stupid move. Right. That was a stupid move. I understand pitching the eighth, but pitching the ninth was absolutely asinine.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. And it doesn't mean we love A.J. Hinch any less. He's great.
No, I love him. But
that was one where you don't ask him to tread into that territory.
Yeah. He also made a move earlier in the game to take Brantley out of the game, which I thought was really a bad move.
You don't want to do that for a professional hitter like that. Let's break it right here.
Yeah.
When we jump back, I do want to jump into a little bit more Texans camp, because it is started.
Cool.
But then we're going to Then we're going to get into some fun stuff, so we will do that here in just a second. Dell's also here, ladies and gentlemen. He's just quiet today. He's just resting. Dell, you're going to take over with Nick Sciarra today also, right?
Yeah, at 10 o'clock.
Did Nick ever get everything settled? He had a Twitter battle with people or something.
Well, he used the I don't know what he said, but I know he called them blog boys. He was very Kevin Durant in his approach to some media members or blog members in the city. He saved his rants for the usual suspects because, well, that's the show, so I understood.
Yeah.
So he didn't really get into it on the hour that we
didn't?
Did together.
Okay.
No.
Okay, I got you. So he paced himself. I just heard that he was real, that there, I don't even know what it was. I just heard that he had gone in and on Twitter. That's all I'd heard.
And he took it to
did it involve brisket or
no,
what happened?
No, that is your thing. Nick took issue, I guess, with comments about, I don't know. I just saw the aftermath when he took.
I hear he's got a pretty good temper.
Nick can get angry if you test him.
I heard he's got a little, I've never seen it personally, but everyone tells me about it. Like, apparently people around here have seen it.
Don't try him is what,
okay.
All you need to know. Don't try Nick.
I got you. It's 8:30 right here on the bench, ESPN 97.5. When we come back, we've also got InfoLine coming up, so we will get you squared away at 8:43. Oh, by the way, let's do this now. I haven't done this, so let me do this now. We're going to give you, it's that time of year, we want to thank you, our loyal listeners, with a 2019 Listener Appreciation Party. Caller number 15 to 713-780-3776 is going to win a pair of tickets to our Listener Appreciation Party up here at the offices of SportsMap and Gal Communications and ESPN 97.5 Radio. Big City Wings are going to provide the food. We've got drinks by Coors Light. Oh, wow, gee, how did that happen, Mr. John Renato? Thanks to Texas Citizens Bank, you're going to have a chance to meet all your ESPN 97.5 on-air personalities, get behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows and videos are made. Texas Citizens Bank, service you can bank on. Visit TexasCitizensBank.com today. The only way to get an invite is to win these tickets, so make sure that you continue to listen to ESPN 97.5 throughout the day as we're giving away tickets on every show. Every day, you must be 21 or more to attend. Invitation only. You and a guest, caller number 15, are going to win right here. When we come back, we'll jump into some Texans and InfoLine for those of you who need information. If you need the basics, if you need something basic, some information to make your life better, that's going to be at about 8:46. So you'll need to keep it right here. The return, the successful and the much anticipated return of InfoLine right here on the bench.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's 8:36 right here on The Bench.
You got that right. It is 9:36.
It's 8:36. It's 9:36 where you are. You're in Florida. No. You're Florida, man. Right. Remember?
Sorry, my bad.
Eric Layden is guest hosting today. Dell, did you watch any of Eric's? Did you ever watch Bosch?
I've seen the first two seasons. I have not. Or I'm in the middle of season two, I think. I haven't gotten past that, though.
Were you a creep on Bosch,
Eric? No. No, I mean, I wasn't like a nice guy. I play a reporter. I kind of recur. I come in and out. I did season two, I think, and then season four, and then five. Or maybe I did three and then five. Whenever I'm available, I go in and do it. And then when I'm usually on location doing another show, I can't do it.
What would you say are your worst?
I'm really busy.
When is your worst? You actually are pretty busy. I think you're busy. Are you busy by acting
busy.
Standards? Okay.
Yeah, I stay pretty busy.
But your dream is like, if this were sports, you're not on 10-day contracts, but you're on, would you say you have a series of like 2-year contracts?
I feel like that's fair.
Okay.
I've played for a lot of different teams.
But you want a long-term deal, which would mean like a 5-year season run on something, right? That's the dream.
The right show. That's the right show. I don't want to be on the wrong show for 5 years. but the right show for 5 years.
What does that mean? Well, if you're on the wrong show for 5 years, you're still getting paid. What does the right show mean?
He doesn't want to be on CSI for 5 years, is what he's saying.
That's pretty much what I'm saying, yeah.
I mean, it's successful, CBS, but what are you
making
really,
good money?
Yeah, you're doing all the
There's
things.
There's pros and cons to it all. I mean, I could live in LA with my family, which is fantastic. I'd make, you know, a very good living, money. Which is great.
But yeah, is it stimulating creatively to be the same guy, be the lab tech for 5 years on CSI?
Whatever. Well, hold on a minute, Dell. You're saying I'm going to be the lab tech, which is like number 9 on the call sheet.
Well, I don't know.
How about
the call sheet?
Detective
Sorry.
Two?
I don't know
how
the call
detective
sheet.
Detective two.
Maybe you're the second team detective.
As
the
I
one.
Said,
there
detective
you go.
Two,
I get
yeah.
the B-line.
Yeah, maybe
the
you're
B-line.
The other team that everyone kind of throws crap cases at, and you guys are all surly because you're not the star detectives on the show. That
like I'm not Castle, but I'm like the I run the B-line detective.
Yeah, you're
story.
That Scottish guy or whatever his whatever.
No, right. Those two.
Any
reason
I'm
Castle.
Not
those two.
The other guy, the
yeah,
Hispanic
those two
guy,
guys, the Hispanic
and
guy, and the guy with the wears the
and
vest
the Irish
all the
guy.
Time.
Yeah,
he's not
yeah.
Irish.
Dell, any reason I'm not Castle? I'm not the lead detective.
Well, I mean, you're not a Castle type, bro.
Well, I'm, okay. That
I'm
Lance's
not on
words.
ESPN's. I'm not on SportsCenter. You're not Castle, bro. Nathan Filial. Okay. There's something about Nathan Filial with his charm. His boyish charm.
Also Nathan Fillion.
It's Fillion, not Filial.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, are you already – you're already in Quebec.
Yeah, apparently.
You're just kind of already throwing a little accent on it.
I can't wait till I'm French. In Quebec City, we call it Quebec. We
no,
call it
Quebec.
Are you going to come back? Are you going to do a little – are you going to have – like those people that go shoot in London for 6 months
come
and they
back
come back
accent?
And then they – yeah, or they just yeah. say things. They're like, oh, I'm going to go to university. And you're like, whoa.
Okay.
Like, anybody go to hospital?
Hold on a second. That's see, I do think there are some – we should – so I watch a lot of British comedies. Like, Peep Show to me is the fun – I think it might be the funniest comedy that I've ever seen. And
never
it lasted
it.
9 years. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And highly, highly, highly recommend. I watched Fleabag finish the 2 years there, all the Ricky Gervais stuff. I think the word rubbish – makes sense in this. And if you watch enough soccer, which Dell also does, and he watches a lot of these comedies, Dell, don't you feel like some of these words translate? Like we could easily accept them into our culture.
Yeah, instead of saying having a bad day, I feel like when the English say I've had an S day, I feel like that's something we can use. I can't use the word on the radio that the I've had an ish day today.
Yeah.
I feel like I should be able to say that. Or you're just ish. Like they say,
or what about
you're
taking
just,
the piss?
That too.
I think we can
I
say
like
taking
the
piss. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else I like? They throw away that C word a lot. Like
oh,
that's just like, oh,
wow,
you're being
yeah.
a – wait, can I say that or on the
no,
air?
No, but,
oh, okay.
No, you absolutely can't. But
oh,
they
okay.
do, yeah. They drop yeah. the C-bombs a lot.
A lot.
Jim Jeffries, the comedian, says it 1,000 times a show. But also, are you having a laugh? I like having,
you having
a
laugh.
Laugh?
Yeah. Yeah, you having a laugh? I like it when your day goes pear-shaped.
What's that?
That might be a little bit more Australian. But
I haven't even heard
you
that
know,
one.
Just your when your day goes to S, you know. Oh man, I mean, it just went pear shaped. Like this segment is going pear shaped in a hurry.
I've never heard that phrase. Did you just make that up?
No, you didn't make it up. I'm not even a. I want to go back to where do we think Eric is on the call sheet? I feel,
oh, sorry. Okay,
I feel like
fair that. Enough. Fair enough.
Because he was asking why he can't be Nathan Fillion. I mean, Nathan Fillion's been a lead guy since what? His mid 20s when he was doing that space show that lasted for like a season or two. What was that show called? Mm-hmm. Serenity or whatever it's called.
Oh,
they made a movie.
I thought Castle was his first job.
No,
I've never seen
it. It wasn't.
No. He did not Serenity. He did. Oh man!
But they turned it into a movie, and I think the movie version was called Serenity, but the TV show had a different.
You
title.
Know what I like him because he gets a little like after season one and the middle seasons. He puts on like he gives you that hope that hey, you know what? I can kind of sit around and eat some pasta and you know, kind of go have fun and do what I want to do and still be a lead guy like Nathan is.
But
it's not like he's
Nathan's
ripped.
Huge.
He's not ripped.
He dropped the weight for Rookie. That show on the new ABC show, he dropped weight for that.
I see. I saw he cut weight. What do you mean he's huge?
He's a big man.
Big all the way around. 6'3".
Big all the way around.
6'2".
Yeah. I mean, he's not. Yeah, he's a big, big guy.
Actors are small. Why are so many of you guys so small? Like Tom Hanks, 5'2", or whatever?
Wait a minute. Tom Hanks isn't 5'2". You're talking about Tom Cruise.
Tom Hanks is not 5'2".
Not Tom Hanks. Yeah, Tom Cruise. Yeah, Tom Cruise. Yeah,
Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, yeah. Tom Cruise is short. I think he's
Tom
like 5'4".
Tom Hanks weighs like 140.
Kiefer's really – he's short. He's like 5. Oh, he's like 5'6", 5'5".
Is he really?
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect. That's what I'm talking about. How did that
come
happen?
Come on. I mean, Wiki's got him at 5'9". He's only 5'5". They added 4
Nathan Fillion?
No, Kiefer. They got him at 5'9".
No, negative. Kiefer used to actually – there were times – I couldn't – I got a they sent me something to be on 24, and I was too tall because I was going to have to be playing opposite him a lot. And yeah, he doesn't like casting people that are taller than him.
Yeah, and you know what? And the Combine said that Kyler Murray was 5'10". Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
None of that's accurate.
No.
No, that's accurate.
Yeah, that Nathan Fillion show is called Firefly. That dude's been
Firefly, that's
what it was. He's been a lead since about 31 or so. I'm just saying, Eric. I mean,
okay, I got you.
I'm just saying.
I mean, where are you on the call? Are you even on the call sheet?
Yeah, well, have you ever been on the call sheet, bro?
They'd give me fake braids, and they put a tattoo on my neck, and I'd be like, Gangbanger 4.
Gangbanger number 4.
You're not
going to
be a gangbanger.
I got facial hair growing.
Those days are over,
Dell. You wish you were going to be a gangbanger.
Lab tech.
You're what we call below the line, Dell.
I'm not
Dell's
lab tech.
Dell's IT. Dell's IT1. I think you're IT1.
I'm not IT.
Well, it says here that they were able to hack into the mainframe. There you are.
I'm not IT guy.
IT1.
Dell's what we call behind the line. Dell's what we call below the line, You're on the backside of the call sheet. You got to flip it over.
I understand.
And then there's Dell.
I understand that. Yeah. And I think that falls with, like, not even Gangbanger 4 who has lines. I'm just the dude who allegedly looks menacing but isn't really. I'm just the guy they threw in there because we needed to fill up the room.
You're
I feel
not
like I'm that guy.
Filling the room with menacing guy,
look,
Dell.
Look, I know you think you're in TV because you do that whole NFL.com third day of the draft thing that you do.
That's right.
But you understand.
Mock Draft Live. Maybe you need to catch that on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. That sounds
Dell. If
not
you'd
exciting.
Like to come out, Dell, if you want to come out to Florida, I'll get you. I'll get you a little walk on. Well, it's tough because I don't know how well you'd fit in 50 Space Program.
Is there a janitor role?
There's not. I don't know how well you're.
Excuse me, sir. Can I get you back, sir?
Excuse me.
Is there a
no? No one.
You'd be the,
excuse me, sir.
Am I carrying your bags? Over. Excuse me, I got your bags here, sir. What is that? What am I doing in 50 Space Program?
Yeah.
Oh well.
I take that back. Let me wait for my next show and then something a little more modern.
Yeah. Something a little more modern. Tell us about when Jim Belushi. Who was it? Jim Belushi that got his next door neighbor apart just so she could pay for the fence that they were putting up.
That's yeah, Belushi. Belushi was in a dispute, a little financial dispute with his neighbor. She was a washed-up actress. He had to get her a role on his show, according to Jim, and then so she could pay him back for the money she owed him.
She got her on just so she could make money to give to him.
He walked into the writer's room. He said, give this woman a role. She needs 2 episodes at this amount of money. They were like, who is this girl? He said, don't worry about it. Just pay her this amount of money for 2 episodes. I don't care what role she plays. They gave her a role. She played 2 episodes. Then he called her up and said, I know you got money now to pay me back.
Give me my money.
Give me my money.
Give me my money. I love that. What a great move. 8:46 here on ESPN 97.5 The Bench. All right, let's do this. If we get enough phone calls, if you've never taken part in InfoLine, there is no question too mundane. There is no question too simple. There's no question too complicated. You ask the question. We will give you the answer/solution. All you have to do, and Dell's got special music for you. When you hear the music, you know it's InfoLine. 713-780-3776. If you pile on right now, we will get you on for the world-famous InfoLine. 713-780-3776. And we'll get to it. Right now, I want to tell you about Gritty. Because those are my people. They have. I've had so many people ask me about Gritty. You know, I notice everyone's getting serious now. Like, hey, okay, so now what's the deal on the Gritty thing now? What do I get for free? What do I have to text? I'm glad you're finally asking because my electric bill rates right now are 8.1 kilowatt cent per hour with my all-in rate. I keep it really cool overnight and early in the morning, and then I turn it up to where my house is already cool, and then as the day warms up, my AC is not turning on until a little bit later. And with Gritty, I'm getting the wholesale electric rates, and you can too. You pay just $10 a month to get wholesale energy rates, not the retail rates, which everyone else offers. You get wholesale rates. All you have to do is text Lance to 797979. There is no contract. There's no markups. There are no hidden fees. What you see is what you get. And I love the fact that they're incredibly transparent with their pricing. It's all on their app. You can go to the Gritty, you know, go to the App Store and search the Gritty app. But what you need to remember is when you text Lance to 797979, they're going to give you 3 months of free membership. So your membership is absolutely free. Instead of paying the $10 a month, your first 3 months are free. And if you say, wait a minute, I'm under contract, that's fine. Doesn't matter. Once your contract's up, your Gritty membership will start and you'll get your first 3 months absolutely free. All you have to do is text Lance to 797979. Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to ESPN 97. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Dell, when you're ready, cue up that InfoLine music and we'll get it started. Once again, there is no question it is too mundane. There's no question it's too complicated. We have answers, I promise, no matter what your question is. Between myself and Eric Layden, we will have an answer for you. If you haven't been here, it's quiet, it's nice, it's peaceful. It's InfoLine, ESPN 97.5. InfoLine 97.5. If you'd like to come aboard, we'd love to have you. 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. And let's get it started with our first caller. It's Tony here on InfoLine. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. So thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling this morning. My wife and I have completed our family trips for the summer, mm-hmm. and I surprised her this morning with a staycation here in town at a very swanky hotel. But on the way out the door, she dropped a little hint about she's waiting to see where I'm taking her to dinner. My menu consists of a bottle of whiskey and some nachos, mm-hmm. if you're thinking of what I'm putting down.
Sure.
And I just wanted to know if you had any recommendations for places in town.
Sure, sure. Well, what you're trying to accomplish is you'd like for her, if I'm correct, you want to see about getting her intoxicated and having intercourse. What I would say the best course of action is going to be to get something close to where you are, obviously, or even do the room service. And you can make the room service a little fancier, act like she's getting something special by just making sure that there is, I think two desserts, one for her, one for you, or even giving them some flowers. What it does is it allows you to stay away from taking her out on the town, quote unquote, paying excessive prices for valet, this, that. If you're going to already be in at the hotel and they're already going to charge you for your parking, might as well just eat in and then go ahead and have your nachos, quote unquote, there at the hotel yourself. So if it's a staycation, listen, you're not going to go out to dinner. We know it's for one thing. It's for you to get yours. So it's important that you get yours and do it at a reasonable rate as well because you're already paying for the hotel. Thanks for calling, Tony.
You're next up,
Eric. Let's get you in with John here. John, you're on InfoLine with Eric Layden, successful Hollywood actor and information provider.
Sure. Good morning, fellas. I'm a Louisiana hot sauce guy, and I noticed I read all over the label, different size bottles, and many other brands of hot sauce. It never says whether I should refrigerate after opening. And I always just, I see them laying around restaurants, they're not refrigerated. And I'm in my house, I'm thinking, do I put it in the refrigerator after opening, or do I not?
That's an excellent question, Jim. I think that it's most important to realize that the first thing you have to do is look in the mirror and question your manhood. If you can't finish a bottle of Louisiana hot sauce in one sitting, I'm not sure the Louisiana hot sauce is for you. I feel like you need to be able to indulge in the spiciness that is life. And maybe you should think about purchasing one of those little, airplane bottle sizes of Louisiana hot sauce.
I also think you do have to answer to your ass as well at some point there. So I think that is a concern, Eric. But you make a great point. And getting to the point about the refrigeration, I would say this. Typically, it is the user's choice. So if you like the what I would call the juxtaposition of hot sauce in cold bottle, then you could do that. Just a little friendly play on words there here on InfoLine 97.5. Let's get Dave in here once again on InfoLine 713-780-3776 for all your answers. What's up, Dave? How you doing?
Hey, good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
You mind if I, right before my question, I slipped in a real quick sports question.
Sure,
I'd like to know, you know, I was thinking last night about the Texans. Right, including their current one, rank their GMs in their history.
Okay, that'll be easy.
I mean, I think the current one may be the best.
It's tied. It's Rick Smith in current one, and then Charlie Cashley. That's it. No, actually, I'm sorry. It's Brian. Okay. It's actually Brian Gain one, because he finished with an 11-5 record, and then comes Rick Smith and current one tied for two, and then we're going to go Charlie Cashley last.
I don't watch football.
They just can't get out of their own way. They have an opportunity to keep the greatest GM they've ever had, and they're going to blow it.
Yeah, now,
my question is, my neighbors are having a home built and a construction site, and there's, you know, your porta cans and everything over there. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been trying to find out where you can purchase the Powerade that's in a purple bottle, but it seems to be yellow.
Yeah, that's, you have to be careful, because a lot of times the purple Powerade that quote unquote turns yellow is actually urine, human urine. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. And you'll find this a lot with truck drivers. A lot of times you'll be walking around on the side of the road somewhere and you'll see a big giant bottle of yellow Powerade or Gatorade, and be very, very careful, because a lot of times that is going to be urine from a truck driver that is thrown out of a window, or by someone who just has decided, hey, let's just do this as a gag. So mm-hmm. I would be very careful of any yellow Gatorade or Powerade that is not cold and refrigerated. And if the seal has been broken, for sure, don't have any of the purple yellow Gatorade, for sure. Yeah. So be careful. Probably you're in there on that one. Let's get La Raza. La Raza is here. I think I'm saying that right. La Raza or Raza?
No, it's La Raza.
Raza.
Hey, okay. How are you gentlemen doing this morning?
We're doing great here on Info.
Raza.
La Raza. Hey, I had a question for Mr. Eric. Now, Mr. Eric, you played a murderer in one of the shows, I think The Killing, I believe. So what would I do if I had a body in my trunk right now? I'm trying to dispose of it the proper way and not get caught. I surely appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you. Sir. That's the age-old question, Eric. How do you dispose of a body?
Yeah, one of my favorite methods is the tree cutter. If you want reference, you can watch Fargo. Mm-hmm. Good reference to that. But if you have a good first thing you're probably going to need to do, because it's going to take some time, is head to your local hardware store and get a nice big freezer. That way you can take care of it in pieces. Mm-hmm. And then I would either go with you could delimit with a chainsaw. And then put it in a barrel. Two things I'd have you watch is Fargo and Breaking Bad. They do a good job in big drums with hydrochloric acid.
Sure.
Both, you know, good options for disposing of a body.
Eric, does blood freeze, or is it like vodka?
No. Blood actually is just like vodka, which makes it really fantastic, because you can drain the body of blood, and then you can actually put it in Powerade bottles.
Whoa. Yeah, so the red Gatorade.
That's right. Well, yeah. Powerade.
Yeah, red Powerade. And right. More of a slurry than really mm-hmm. a liquid. That's mm-hmm. interesting. Let's get our last question here on InfoLine. It's Patrick. Patrick, you're on InfoLine 97.5.
Hey, thanks a lot, Lance.
Sure.
Chick-fil-A's lemonade, in my opinion, is biblically good and is basically the symbolic blood of Jesus. My question is, how can I go about replacing grape juice with Chick-fil-A lemonade at church communion? And I'll hang up and listen.
I think when you're talking about making a switch at communion, which is the body of Christ, the actual body
tough.
Of Christ in the Catholic Church, it's going to be very difficult. I think you're going to have a self-serve. It's going to have to become a self-serve item, and it's going to be very difficult to get the Eucharistic ministers to actually partake in allowing you to have your own chalice of Chick-fil-A lemonade. Now, I think, everything is there for a price.
Sure, sure. And I think that price comes from that little that little bowl they pass around on Sundays. And, you know, maybe if you dedicate one Sunday a month to a Chick-fil-A lemonade stand, you know, and you raise funds that way, I think that you could find a way to make it happen.
It's going to be tough, but I think you have to find the right Eucharistic minister, number one. I don't think it's going to happen with the actual priest. And if you can find the right Eucharistic minister, you grease the skids, you have a separate container that is somewhere hidden under a jacket, I think then you can make it happen. But it is
also
going to
Chick-fil-A.
Take some finessing, yeah.
Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays, which adds that's a little wrinkle.
Yeah,
you know, they are closed on Sundays, which makes it difficult to get the freshest lemonade. You'd have to get it on Saturday night and keep it cool.
But speaking of fresh lemonade, yeah, make sure you purchase it directly and don't pull it off the streets in a power bottle.
No, or next to Jim's house at the construction site.
Absolutely. That's ESPN 97.5 InfoLine. We hope we helped. 9 o'clock right here, straight up.
That. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.